Welcome, everybody. It's time once again for another episode of SLMA Radio, a syndicated radio program brought to you on behalf of the thousands of members on the Sales Lead Management Association. Our archives have over 383 different episodes now and an audience reach of 94,000, approaching 100,000. So let's kick things off today. We're privileged to have with us another guest host, Peter Gillette. Hey, Peter.
Hi, Paul.
Welcome back.
Good to see you again.
How are things in jolly old England here?
Jolly old England, still pretty jolly as usual. So, all good.
All right. Well, I'm always looking forward to hear who you found. You find the most amazing people here.
Good. Yes. Well, I've got a very interesting guest today, Ian Gotts. He's CEO of Elements Process Management Software. And although he may sound like he's from London, he's sitting in hopefully sunny San Francisco compared to our shores over here. So without more ado, Ian, tell us a little bit more about Elements.cloud. Haven't we got enough of this stuff in our lives already? What are we looking to achieve with this new company of yours?
Thank you for inviting me on, Peter. People say, haven't we got enough process mapping software out there? But this is a repeat of a business which we ran for 14 years and sold, and then we've got the founders back out of retirement and started again. And this time we've taken a slightly broader view. We said, look, there are a whole bunch of disparate systems that people use for capturing requirements, for managing their business processes, capturing them so everyone understands them, and then for somehow linking that back to their systems, such as Salesforce. And so we built the application that enables you to do all of that, and then we took a slightly more radical approach and said, let's make as much of that as we possibly can free for as many users as want to use it. So it's no longer the Fortune 500, but it's the Fortune 5 million. And as a strategy, that's working. We're delighted by the growth. Clearly, we need to make some money, so we have some pro features, but a lot of people can get a ton of value out of the free capabilities. And as I said, elements.cloud, slightly different. We have a .cloud rather than a .com URL, so we're trying to make sure we promote the .cloud bit of our name. So you could document anything. You could document, you know, your sales lead process, you could document your HR processes, but also, obviously, part of this conversation, you can document how you run trade shows and events.
Excellent. I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see how this company develops, as it's all fairly new. But I guess this brings us neatly round to trade shows and events, all of which should need a very slick process to be successful. And now your arena is very much the Salesforce world, and I'm sure that's not difficult given the absolutely incredible market share achieved by Salesforce in recent years. And that's the angle I'd like to discuss today. I mean, any CRM system is or should be full of leads classified at different stages of the sales funnel prior to any event. So wouldn't you say this is really the starting point for any event planning?
I guess yes and no. As you said, I've been around Salesforce. I think we were one of Salesforce's earliest customers back in 2001 in the UK. And they've had a spectacular growth for very good reason. I mean, it's the default for where people should be tracking all their leads and their contacts. But I think that last bit, leads and contacts. So what are you going to track in there? What are you trying to get from your event? Are you trying to capture leads, or are you trying to find qualified contacts? And I think that's the debate that sales teams have, which is, why are you making me stand around at a trade show when all we're capturing is unqualified leads? Versus, I want, as a sales guy, I want qualified leads. Ideally, I want someone who's just about to spend money with me. And most of the people walking around trade shows are doing research, kicking the tires. I'm sure somewhere in those thousands of people walking around the trade show, there are people who genuinely want to spend money. But I'm not sure, as a sales guy, it's worth my time standing on a stand trying to pick those people out. So pick, I don't know, Dreamforce. Apparently 160,000 people attended last year. Now, a few of those are spending money, but how many of those walk through the exhibition stand just collecting swag? So I think that's the reason why sales guys don't like standing on exhibition booths, because they're not getting any benefit from it. It's not helping them close their quota. So if I think about it, it's marketing's job to generate leads, and therefore, as a sales guy, why am I there? Give me qualified leads. Let me sit back in the office and go and make my target. That's what I see from events all the time. I mean, Pete, with Zuant, you're supporting events all the time in terms of generating leads. Is that a consistent view?
I'm afraid it is, and I think that salespeople should love to go to trade shows. In the show last week, we talked about how they can use trade shows really proactively. And these days, when digital media, web meetings and so on, means that a lot of salespeople's prospects and customers hide away in this digital world. So the days of the old face-to-face meetings and the power lunch have long gone, for good or bad. So really, the trade show arena is the only place that these guys can actually press the flesh, see their customers, talk to prospects for the first time. And I think the nub of the problem that we've touched on before is the fact that they're not involved in the planning, let alone sales management. And, you know, that's possibly part of the reason for the problem. They're asked to be almost like contract hire, turning up at a show because, you know, they need someone to man the booth. So I think there's got to be a change so that they can start to see the real value in being at a show and actually say, hey, guys, I want to invite these guys and make sure the booth has got all the facilities for me to entertain them and have meaningful discussions. So, as always, quite a lot to change.
Yeah, I was talking to a client the other day, and I was trying to help them from a process perspective understand their event planning process. And I said to them, so when does the event start? And they looked up on the screen and went, the event's on the 17th of November. I went, no, it didn't start. The event doesn't start then. The event starts the moment someone says that they are going to the event. You can start to use the moment you're engaged with some of your customers who are going to the event, you can start engaging with them now. It's not just the day that the event happens. And I said, well, when does it finish? And they went, well, the 17th of November. No. It finishes when you've continued those conversations. So maybe it never finishes. So there's events people tend to think of as, I'm going to plan my event, which is, it's happening on the 17th of November, so we need to get a stand, we need to work out what T-shirts we're going to give away, we need to work out how we're going to capture people's business cards. And then to assess that, I think it needs to go a bit further earlier than that and think, okay, what is my event strategy? Why am I attending this event? And I think people spend more time worrying about what's going to be written on the T-shirt or what the swag's going to look like than understanding what their event strategy is. So I think there are four different reasons that you might go to an event. And it's one of those four. It can't be all four. It's either to grow the brand, so you simply want your name there so everyone is seeing you there. It is to pick up leads, so it doesn't matter who they are, just any leads. I just need names in the bucket. I'm going to have qualified conversations, which means that I only want to talk to people who are genuinely interested in what we're doing. Everybody else who wants to collect a T-shirt, whatever, fine, go into the corner. But I want to have longer qualified conversations with people who are going to buy. So that's number three. And number four, slightly more radical approach. I don't care about who's walking around the show. I know that some of my customers or prospects in the pipeline as opportunities will be at the show. And they've flown to the event. I'm there. So why don't we have some pre-planned meetings? So use the event as the catalyst for setting up those meetings. And therefore, the trade show, your booth actually is almost secondary. It's the meeting rooms that you've booked, and then you've got those pre-planned meetings. So let me just go through those four again. One is just we need to be there and have our brand seen. Two is pick up leads. Three is having qualified conversations. And four is pre-planned meetings. Now, based on those strategies, if you pick one, then what we're going to do at the event is very different. If it's simply growing the brand, the activities that take place are about sponsorship, it's about making sure the name gets seen. I don't really care about lots of leads, and I'm certainly not don't care about conversations. If it's number two, picking up leads, then I need a really efficient lead scanning process. I need to make sure that there's no one walks past the booth who is not scanned, which means it's probably contract staff. It's not expensive sales guys standing there trying to scan people. You need people who are with a really efficient scanning system, so they're like Zoant, so you can scan people and do some early qualification. If it's three and you're really after qualified conversations, then you need to make sure you really understand who the person you're talking to is when they walk up on the stand. So again, I've seen Zoant used really well there, which is we've already got the list, I scan the card, history comes up, I can then start to have a longer conversation, and maybe there are some questions that are set up that guide me through the conversation with those prospects. Maybe there's some collateral I can give them. So it feels like it's a mini sales meeting on the stand. And then the last option I said was pre-planned meetings. So in that case, you're actually running a little seminar within the exhibition, which involves more organisation. It requires you to be really slick around booking people in and so on. But again, really, really effective. And that last one I see happening a lot, say, at Dreamforce, where the big consultancies, so an Accenture, a Deloitte, a PwC, if you try and walk on their stand to collect some swag, they basically very politely usher you off the stand and go, sorry, not you, sir. They don't even call you sir. It's like, no. Their stand is very clearly set up to be a set of pre-planned meeting spaces. Really fascinating, very different from some of the smaller players who are just trying to give away free helicopters or free socks. So again, they have a very clear, they're clear about what their strategy is for the event. And that's why I think it starts way earlier than just when you turn up on the day. You've got to decide what your strategy is and then plan and let's call it an event process that takes you all the way through from like deciding what to do all the way through to the end. What are we doing after the show? How are we following those people up? Because I think...
So what you're really saying is that the show or the event itself is almost just like a bookmark in a whole series of planned activities that could start 6-9 months before the show and could continue 6-9 months after the show with all the leads being followed up. It's just the thing in the middle that brings people together.
Yeah, the catalyst, absolutely. It's a bookmark. It's a rather expensive bookmark, but you do know that a whole ton of people have paid, certainly in America, have had to fly to the event, have spent the night there, are therefore committed to coming there. So just to give you an idea, we obviously, as Elements.cloud, we're starting to promote ourselves, certainly within the Salesforce customer base, and we've sponsored several of the dreaming events, which are the user groups. We went, okay, why are we there? We want some better conversations with people. We know that everyone has flown in the night before to be there for the morning start. We know that their flights are going to get in between, I don't know, 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the evening. So we ran a workshop the day before or the night before and had a drinks party. So we said, we know that people are going to be there. We had a bunch of people turn up to a two-hour workshop, and then we had like, five times that many people turn up to the evening drinks, which we organised in the hotel opposite the exhibition hall.
Excellent. Fascinating. All right, Ian, we're just going to dive off for a quick break, and we'll pick that one up again as soon as we're back.
Just a quick reminder that one of the products we're talking about today is Zoant. It's a new generation of mobile lead capture system. Perhaps you've heard people talking about it, because it's one you can use at every trade show and event, or even every day, like when you're on the road, to present and send videos and literature to your customers. It looks great, it operates simply, and it eliminates the need for manually entering your leads later. It really is smart. It'd be smart of you to check it out. Pretty simple. Zoant.com. Z-U-A-N-T. Zoant.com. All right, with that, let's head back to our host and his guest.
Fantastic. Thank you, Paul. That sounds good. So let's now look at some of the practical difficulties of managing the data. I know a rather dry subject, but before and after the event, you know, that's the currency we're working with here to exploit any good trade show or event. So, Ian, in the Salesforce world, is it the system admin's job to prepare all of this data, to feed to marketing, to invite the right people to an event? I mean, there could be an awful lot of people to coordinate all of this just in one company. But what's your experience of how this is managed in some of your corporate clients?
Yeah, so in the Salesforce world, the Salesforce admin role is more the person who's responsible for configuring the system rather than necessarily what the person who's managing all the data. Now, obviously, in the smaller companies, there is a solo admin who does everything. But Salesforce is flexible enough so that the marketing team are able to run reports and export the data if they need to go and invite people to the event. Now, it depends what they're using. If they're using Salesforce for all their customer data and they have a separate marketing system which is not integrated into Salesforce, then they may have to export it. Or they may be using Salesforce's own marketing cloud, which is called Pardot, and they may drive the meeting invites from there. So that's great. I've now got an invite out to somebody and making sure they're coming to the event. But we need to close the loop. We need to make sure that that data is in the hands of every single person working the booth. So when someone walks up on the stand, we don't start the conversation with, "Hi, I'm Ian. Who are you? Why are you here?" You can scan their card, ideally, if it's an NFC card or it's a QR code. And hopefully, you've already got that data preloaded in your event app. So you can start the conversation from... Great. Right, you're Peter Gillette, you're CEO of Zoon. I see you've been using product XYZ. Great. So good you've come to meet us. Let's continue the conversation. But so many times at events, people have got these, they either go, "Can I have your business card and I'll throw it in the goldfish bowl and maybe you can win an iPad at the end." Or they come up with these funny little barcode scanners for which you can, there's no data on there, they're simply capturing your data. And it's rather sad, isn't it? It's 2017 now, and I walk into a trade show, and I'm immediately taken back 10 years. I mean, in a number of ways, it's disappointing, appalling that the technology hasn't moved on in terms of the ability to have proper conversations on a booth with accurate data. And clearly, Zoont is one company that's changing that. But that it doesn't feel like the event management business has moved on particularly far. And I think that's why it's difficult to have proper conversations with people if you're not armed with the right data. So, yeah, marketing can get the data out of Salesforce, but unless it's in the hands of every single person on the booth and they can access it really quickly, it's difficult to have a proper conversation with people. That's why a sales guy is like, "Well, everyone feels like a new prospect to me." And then someone turns up, he says, "Oh, well, by the way, I'm one of your customers," because, of course, you've never met them before. You've only ever met them online. And then it's even more embarrassing to go, "Oh, yeah, actually, I didn't realize." Because, again, the data is actually the power in this. Unless we've got decent data in the hands of every booth member, every person working the booth, then we're all fighting with our arm tied behind our back.
Yes, Ian, and as you said, it's so easy to do, so it's surprising how slow the industry is to adapt to this. And because you can turn up to rent a car from Hertz or go into a well-known hotel chain and they recognize you and welcome you. Do you want your normal room or do you want your normal Ford Mustang Cabrio? You know, it's good. It's so easy to link that data together. So let's try and bring the exhibition and event industry up to this speed.
Yeah, I think I would lay the blame at the guys who do the event registration, because they're the guys who have all the data quite often, and they're the guys who are making money selling you these old fashioned barcode scanners. Again, the event we went to a couple of weeks ago in Chicago. I wanted to use Zuance because it's so much better, but the event organizer had a team who, or the guys who were doing the badging, refused to give us access to how the QR code was configured, because they wanted to sell us for like $200 for the event their scanner, which was awful. I mean, all I could do is I got someone's name and phone number, and that was all that came up. And I had an ability to type like three lines of notes into the app they gave us. So we need the event organisers to say we need a better experience for our exhibitors and a better experience for our delegates, and therefore not put up with the poor scanners, which are then tied to the event organisers. Now, I'm sorry, I don't know how we break that cycle. I think we need delegates to go back to organisers and go, this is not acceptable, and exhibitors to go back to organisers and go, this is not acceptable. I think it's going to be a groundswell of products like Zuant, a number of exhibitors using Zuant going, I don't want to use your 2D barcode scanner, I want to use Zuant. I'm not going to exhibit unless you give me give me access to the data that I need. Peter, are you seeing examples of that happening where Zuant's being used by exhibitors and the exhibition organisers are more open to giving access to the data?
Yes, for sure. I mean, what you described was the situation some years ago when we started in the industry. But now, you know, it's really great. I think we have about 30 registration companies that approve and are happy to work with Zuant, because it makes their life easier. You know, they're just providing data. There's no hardware to rent or anything like that. So it's the modern way of working. So changes are coming. Just we need to speed it up a bit.
So moving along, from an exhibitor perspective, I mean, have we got hard numbers about why I should care about this?
Yes, for sure. I mean, there are some classic examples that we've got on our blog post, in fact, just recently published this week. So one of the mainstream telcos in the US has been using Zuant for 12 months. And the statistics that they are quoting about doubling the number of sales opportunities and actual sales that should be generated as a result is quite outstanding. And you think that from a platform of trying to generate maybe fewer leads of better quality, what's actually happening is you're capturing actually many more leads than you did before. You know, maybe a lot of the proper leads ended up as business cards stuffed into the pockets of the sales guys, and they were lucky to survive at the dry cleaners the week after. So these clients are actually finding they're capturing many, many more leads, and the quality is much better because they're qualified and there are more notes to enable that follow-up. So, you know, it's terrific when you see it, all of these stars aligning properly within the client. So
you said a couple of really interesting things there. It's about, as a sales guy, I want qualified leads. So giving me a pile of business cards and say, chase these people up, hang on, that's the software development rep's job. Or giving me a spreadsheet with, by the way, these are all the people who turned up to our stand, go and call them because they could be clients. Or dumping that spreadsheet as new leads into Salesforce and saying, right, we think they're qualified because they walked into our stand. And I'm going to get on my process management soapbox and stand on that and rant for a moment. A clear understanding about what qualified means for your company is probably the most important thing that you'll do in the sales cycle. So getting agreement from both marketing and sales about when I should throw it over the fence from marketing to sales, so that sales guys genuinely care about it, is really, really important. Again, I was talking to a client last week who talking to the marketing team, and they said, oh, no, we never talk to sales because they don't really want to talk to us. It's like, well, how on earth do you work out why you're going to an event and what that's sales cycle, what the event to through to sales cycle looks like. And in fact, in our own company, between marketing and sales, we moved the line about where marketing stops and where sales start, because we were having so many leads being generated with our freemium model that we needed to be even closer in terms of qualification. So again, when you have a freemium product and you have, oh, we have like 20 to 30 new customers a week signing up now, not every one of those is a qualified lead. Fine, they're using the product, but they need to show that they're actually starting to gain some momentum until it's worth giving to our customer success and our sales teams. So we've actually moved the line for where marketing finishes further to the right, if I'm looking at a process diagram. And therefore, some of the early follow-up is done by marketing with a sort of marketing stroke customer success hat on before it gets passed over to the sales teams to start to work with the customers and make them successful. So that point about what is a qualified lead and when should it go to sales, that's nothing to do with events. That's just to do with the way your company is run. But it then impacts an event, because then I know what I'm meant to be getting back out of my lead capture device at an event, which then gets back to how do I make sure we end up with decent qualified leads? What information do I need to collect from people to see whether they are qualified? So, again, back to our conversation before the break about think of the event as a catalyst. So it's a catalyst, yes, for we need to get our act together for running to make sure we understand what our strategy is for this particular event. But I also think it's a really good catalyst to say, you're going to get your shit sorted out. Let's decide what a qualified lead looks like. Let's get sales and marketing in the same room, having a conversation about when you should pass things over. And then we'll start to get the sort of numbers that you were talking about. I mean, I was staggered when I read the blog post. What is it? Double sales opportunities, 150% year-on-year increase in qualified leads, and 280% year-on-year increase in unit sales from events. That's amazing. Yep. Surely that's worth having a proper conversation about what qualified leads look like.
If we have to wrap there, we could talk a lot longer. I think next time we'll move on to poor lead follow-up. And clearly, with all we've been discussing today, this would be an ideal case to get people starting to use proper process management software to coordinate all these steps. So many thanks for your time today, and we'll look forward to our next interview, Ian. Thanks again. Back to you.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to another episode of SLMA Radio, brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. If it has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing, it probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show, part of the many shows on the Funnel Radio channel for at-work listeners like you.